Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries Podcast. My name is Sammy Ju, and I'm your host. Today is a special podcast. I'm with two brothers now. I'm at Kairos Missions Training, and this is my first time being here, and I'm learning a lot. I'm being really blessed by knowing about God's heart for the nations. But before we go on, I want to introduce my brothers here. Brother Randall and Brother Shin Young, could you introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Randall Ma. I am a third-generation Canadian-born Chinese. I currently reside in Toronto, and I have been involved in missions as a missionary since 1995, but only involved in Kairos since 2012.
Mm-hmm. Great. All right, Shin Young.
Hi, everybody. My name is Shin Young Song. I currently live in the Raleigh area, attending Living Hope Baptist Church here in Raleigh. I was introduced to Kairos a couple years ago, but I did not attend it until February of 2016. And since then, this is my fourth time doing it already, and it's been a blessing in my life so far.
Great. Now, most of our audiences are Asian Americans, and they're not necessarily only in North Carolina, but they're in the different states in the United States and different countries. Even I saw the 12 countries were listening to this podcast. Now, I assume that most of them are not familiar with this Kairos program, so it will be really great and helpful if you can give us a very quick overview or summary of the Kairos. So my first question is, what is Kairos?
Well, Kairos is taken from the Greek, meaning the appointed time. It's different from Chronos, which is also Greek, meaning like time of minutes, seconds, hours. Kairos was developed in the Philippines back in the mid-1990s. So it wasn't formed and created in America or in Canada, but it was initiated in the Philippines with an organization that was trying to introduce missions and finding that some courses are quite intense, and so they wanted to make a less intensive course. So this used to be called the Condensed World Mission Course, and then recently changed it to the term Kairos.
So what's the vision of this Kairos?
Kairos is really about getting the average person sitting in the pew to recognize their role in world evangelization. So it's not for mission experts, it's not for professionals. It's really for everybody who either haven't heard or understood their role, or they do know it, but they're unsure how they can participate in God's mission for the world.
Mm-hmm. What would be the goal of this program or course, Kairos course?
I think in general, the goal is to involve lay people. So the beautiful thing about Kairos is it isn't run by experts. It is facilitated by mostly lay people who, once they've been had taken the course, then they can be trained in becoming part of a facilitation team. And then they take it from place to place, whether churches, small groups, parachurch organizations, and they then run the course, and then they just perpetuate saying who in the course is interested in becoming a facilitator in the future. So it's really about self-replication. So it's kind of a discipleship course using missions as its foundation.
Okay. Well, that's great. Like I said, this is my first time being in this course, and it is today is the third day, I guess, or fourth day. And it's a pretty intense, very intensive course, and it's been like about 16 or 17 hours that I've been into this training already. But I was very impressed by multiple facilitators leading this course, and none of them, I guess, except you, Randall, were not pastors, were not missionaries, and they were students. And Shin Young, you're not pastor, right?
I'm not a pastor.
But I was very blessed by looking at those just lay people stepping up. I think that's definitely a strength. So, Shin Young, how do you feel that you're not a pastor, you're not a missionary, but you stepped up and leading one of the courses and even explaining about what the Bible says about the mission. So how did you feel and what made you to step up to do that?
Sure, I mean, the Kairos course is amazing. The content is already prepared for us. We have lecturers from famous missiologists and theologians who've made video clips and texts. And my job is not really to teach it, but to bring people's attention to the content, which has already been prepared for us. And it's been exciting to be able to be a part of it, but also see people who I consider my younger brothers and sisters who are in college or fresh out of college be able to participate in such an amazing movement. And in our community, both our Korean-speaking congregation and our English-speaking congregation have taken this course and are enthusiastic about participating in spreading not the course in and of itself, but the message, the core value of mission being something for everybody, not just professionals who go abroad, but like Randall mentioned, for all of us. And it's been an integral part of shaping the vision of our church. So I really appreciate how it invites all of us to participate to various degrees.
That's good. Can you give us some synopsis of this program? What are the contents?
Yeah, there are four basic contents. So if you've heard of the Perspectives course, we are follow the same line and we're actually kind of like cousins together. So we take four core components: the biblical, the historical, the strategic, and the cultural portions of evangelism, and present different chapters that are in the reader and different video lectures. They all talk about following those four themes. Now, although you mentioned that earlier that this is the fourth day of Kairos, we are doing kind of like an intensive version. The normal way that we do Kairos is usually like a 10-week sessions. So like you come once a week for 2.5-3 hours, you learn and then you go home, you do your homework, and then you come back the following week. It's just because of the circumstances, it does warrant sometimes that we need to do an intensive way of doing it, which makes it a lot more pressure and it seems like a lot to take in. But ideally it's meant to run over a 10-week period.
But I think that's part of the power of this course too, is that as we are learning about missions, it's contextual, and this course too can fit the needs of different communities based on those circumstances to have the most impact. And I think we see that through the way this is organized as well.
Okay, good. So some statistic questions, like how do you know how many countries are doing this Kairos?
Yeah, well, we have a website, www.kairoscourse.org, and on it, it lists all the countries that we are doing Kairos in. And so at the latest that I know of, we've run Kairos in over 80 countries, in over 30 languages. So it's not just in English. We actually try to translate it as much as possible into other languages. Currently, there are other languages that are asking for it, and we're in the process of translating those as well.
So this is not just a Canadian or American thing, but this is actually done in so many different countries and different languages.
Yeah, for me, it just recently came to Canada. Like 2012 was when it came to Canada, and it's been existing in other countries a lot longer than us. So we're kind of new at this as far as the Kairos world is concerned.
Can you share with us about some God stories out of this program? Like how is this program impacting the church, local church, or individual? Do you have any stories you want to share?
I've run Kairos initially in one church, and they so adopted it that they've now run it 3 times in their church. And out of that church, we've had people that says they've been thinking about serving as missionaries. So you do get some of those. So some of them go on missions. Others say, well, I'm not called to be a missionary, but I'm called to support more. So they said, I'm going to give more, or I'm going to be involved in reaching my neighbors who are not of the same ethnic background as I am. Of course, then they get more involved in their own church, in the mission committee, in evangelism. And so really it's encouraging people to say, yes, they have a role in ministry without having to be a full-time pastor or a missionary.
Shinyoung, how has Kairos impacted you?
Wow, that's a big question. it has definitely stirred in my heart what God has been doing as I've learned from the beginning. And just practically, it has cast the overarching vision on the community in which I serve. Our church has come together. We've reignited our passion for missions as a cohesive unit, not just different groups and pockets of people doing their own thing, but has brought us together from a biblical perspective, a strategic perspective. How can we do this better? And it's reinforced the activities that we are already doing, the refugee services and the ministry that we are part of, the various ministries, is pushing us to ask the hard questions about, are we doing things right, in the right way, in the right time, for the right people, and made us self-reflective about our activities. So it's not just about us doing, hey, we're doing a good job, patting back, mm-hmm. but what is God doing, and how can we participate in that? Mm-hmm. And it's kept us honest.
Okay, that's good. Well, I'm newbie here, so I'm just still learning. I'm so excited about for the next days to come to learn more. Now, for the last 3 days, I was learning more of a biblical perspective on missions, and that was really, really great, greatly encouraging me, because I'm a missionary, a missionary to refugees and international students and all of that. But and many times, and I, including myself, a lot of people think that mission is just part of a church ministry, and there are so many other different activities that the church does. But the more I look at scripture through this Kairos perspective, I can see that God's heartbeat. God's heart is really for the missions, for the nations to come to know Christ. So it really energized me again. I think this course can really motivate local churches to be on the task that God has given them to do. So how would a totally new church who never heard the Kairos program can be involved in this? What would be the first step for the church to join?
Well, first of all, Kairos is led by indigenous leadership. So whatever country you're in, you have your own Kairos leader. So it's not being run from some distant country. So what you do is you try to find the leadership of the Kairos course in wherever you are. And so if you're in a big country, you might have a regional leadership team. Small countries, you might not even have one in your country, but a group of countries might be overseen by somebody. So somewhere you could go directly to the Kairos course website, and there's contact information there that you can, even if you have to contact the Philippines, you email them, and then they will direct you even to the right people in your area. From there, you can contact someone who would be a head facilitator of Kairos, mm-hmm. and they would then come and discuss with what are your needs, what's available, how you'd run it, give you information on what's required. You need only a small group of 12 to 15 people to be in a course, so you don't need, we're not looking for 50 and hundreds of people. As a matter of fact, having too many is not good. You only want a smaller group. And then they would form their team of facilitators and bring the course to wherever your location is and according to your needs. Mm-hmm. And now sometimes if there isn't anyone in your area, we might need to find someone from another country or another place to come to you and launch a Kairos course. But then they would discuss saying, well, how would it sustain itself? Because sustaining comes from local people. Local people get trained and they become the facilitators. Mm-hmm. So it's not like always having to bring people in. So that's the way that it perpetuates itself, is that somebody launches it somewhere, they build up the leadership. It might take a few years to build up the leadership to the point where they're independent, they can run it themselves. The materials are already printed or available, and so either you find a printer to print them, or you can order the materials from outside. Or if it's, especially if it's in a language that's already been developed. Mm. But if you need it in a new language, what we usually do is we find somebody, if they've already started working on that language, then we would connect you to that person. If there isn't, we need sort of like bridge people who either know one of the languages that Kairos is already in get fully trained, and then develop a team to do the translation work. So that might take a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
But if we want to get it to the whole church, eventually we need to have it in all the languages anyways. So that's our end product is every single person in every church to have the opportunity to learn about what God's goal is for them. And Kairos is just a tool. It's not the only tool. It's not might not even be the best tool for you. But if you want to explore, I would recommend that you find a course somewhere first, be part of it, take the course just to see and evaluate whether that's a good tool for you, for your situation, for your church, even at this time or maybe in the future.
Mm-hmm. Well, if a church say, well, we're so busy, we are already doing some sort of missions activities, and we have gone through some Bible studies about the missions and all of that. Now, what would be the special uniqueness of this Kairos that we should consider to take?
I'd say it's kind of twofold. number one, if people are doing something already, that's great. Kairos is there sort of to help jumpstart or help encourage. But we often look and say in Kairos, a lot of churches are doing lots of good things, and that's great. But the priority for us is the unreached people groups.
Mm-hmm.
And there are still so many unreached out there. And what's the reason? Well, maybe because not everyone is prioritizing that.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing other things, but we think that the unreached peoples is the final task that every church should be involved in.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they're helping to do that already, you know, that's great. Maybe Kairos isn't necessarily for them at this time. But I think one quote that Max Chisholm, the founder and creator of Kairos, says is that the Great Commission is not just for the unreached, but it's for the church. Because as we understand the Great Commission, we recognize that, yes, there are people who need Christ, but the Great Commission sharpens the church. It focuses the church to complete its final task that Christ has called us to.
If you don't mind me adding to that, I think one of the strengths of Kairos in my limited experience is that there's a very strong practical aspect,
mm-hmm.
and there's an interactive aspect that no amount of studying or reading will be able to capture. And I think going through a Kairos course together, for some people, a lot of the content might not be new, but it definitely builds a community around those who've taken it together and have experienced some of the practical things that Pastor Drew, you will experience in the coming days. I hope you look forward to. And these things kind of open our eyes and show us that we are on the same playing field and how can we move forward from there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just about content, not just about knowledge,
mm-hmm.
but there's a very practical, interpretive, powerful tool that has brought us together, and I think that can be said for a lot of other churches as well.
Mm-hmm. That's great. A lot of listeners for this podcast are second generation or third generation Asian Americans, and I'm always encouraging them to be on missions because I believe this generation, the diaspora, they are the bridge between minority and majority, and God is going to use them in a mighty way to lead the people, to lead the nations to Christ. Now, so to these listeners, what would you encourage them for this Kairos program?
Well, in general, I think because we are all bicultural, we really have advantages that a lot of monocultural people don't have.
Mm.
I mean, we've had to live in two worlds or more our whole lives. You're born, if you're, if your family speaks language of their home country, then you're already kind of in that world. Then you go to school and you're living in another world. And so you're always going back and forth. And so for missions, for Kairos, it's a lot about that. It's about adapting. It's about being able to become part of what's contextualization and being able to fit in some ways. But in other ways, being able to oversee the differences that, oh, this culture is different. And how can we help the other culture become more biblical?
That's great. Well, thank you so much. Is there any last comments you want to make or you want to add?
I'll just add to what Randall just said. I actually talked about this during our small group, or what we call Growth Point group today, is that as second generation or Asian Americans, I believe that we're very uniquely placed there can be a strategy around how we mobilize, because we can be a bridging culture. And many times, I don't know if this is insensitive, second generation Asian Americans are typically not a threatening group to most foreigners. So when you travel to different places, we are not threatening. And I think that in and of itself can bring down a lot of barriers. And I hope to see that our generation come and embrace this role that God has given us.
Well, thank you, Randall. Thank you, Shinyoung, for sharing about Kairos. And I'm very excited about what God is going to do through Kairos. Thank you, listeners. Thank you for listening. And I will see you in the next episode.